Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with your truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. I am excited on what God has planned for us on tonight. So I have a special guest that's going to be bringing forth a word on tonight, and I'm looking forward to this word because I believe that I need this word. This word is called Digging Deep. And I am just too excited to hear what the Lord has for us. I know for many, I've been speaking to other people, and a lot of people that I know this week have been consecrating and fasting and praying, and a lot of people have been going through things. This week has been in the natural. In the natural has been a pretty rough week. I lost someone dear, near and dear to my heart on Monday, and I know the process. I know it's just a graduation, and praise God that I could find peace and assurance that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So I know that she ran a race. She ran a good race, and now she's resting well. Amen. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others. This brother is my brother in Christ. He's part of the family. He's on fire for the things of God, and I'm just excited to see what God is doing in his life, how God is beginning to transition him from from one level to the next level, and that God is just using him and he's on fire. Nothing like being on fire for the Lord. Have, you know, some of us have probably lost that zeal. You know, when you first get saved, you know, that zeal you have where everything is about Jesus. I just want to, wherever they talk about Jesus, that's where I want to be. And then you get caught up and you start doing ministry and you start doing life and you lose that zeal, and then something to happen in your life. God will cause something to happen in your life where you get that zeal again and you're back on fire again. And I want to be on fire for the things of God. I want to be on fire. I want to be running towards the light. Amen. And I, you know, I just want that burn back, you know, where you just, everything is about, is centered and focused around God, amen, and the word of God and the people of God and you know, and just knowing, you know, just really knowing that this life truly is short. And I was having a conversation with myself, and then I'm going to step back. I was having a conversation, because anytime, I think when we lose people that's close to us or that we really have a bond with, we start really reevaluating our lives. We start really looking at life, and you know, we start having those inner depth conversations, you know, with ourselves, and you know, about life and how precious life is. And that wasn't the conversation I had with myself. The conversation I begin to have with myself is, what is it that makes us as humans wanting to hold on to life, you know? And I'm not saying to prematurely go, I'm not saying to take our lives or anything. I'm just saying, what is it that causes us to want to hold on to life, that we're so, you know, scared of dying, or we don't want to die, and you know, what is that? And I had to just really start asking myself, what is that? Why? What is that that would make me feel like, you know, that I don't want to go? Lord, you know, I'm so grateful to see another day. And Lord, know I'm grateful. But these are those questions that say, these are those questions that religious folks won't ask. They wouldn't dare say them. You know, they would not dare ask these questions because they seem so unorthodox. You know, who, as a believer, who would be sitting up talking about, why would I want to hold on? Why would I want to continue to be around here? Why am I really grateful? That, you know, I hear people say, I'm blessed, I'm grateful that God allowed me to see another day. And I mean, people got answers. These are just things I'm throwing out there. There's no wrong or right answer. These are things that provoke thought. You know, are we truly blessed that we are allowed to see another day? Because seeing another day makes us just one more day away from being in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Amen. So I'm not saying I want to go nowhere, heaven, you know, I'm just saying those are the questions that you start asking. And so, anyway, without further ado, I want to bring my brother. I'm going to open up my brother's mic, and I'm going to formally introduce Minister Q. Minister Q, are you in the house on tonight?
Hey, sis, how you doing?
I am doing blessed. So I just want to introduce you to the audience. This is Minister Q. You probably heard him about a month ago or so. He was actually one of our guest speakers who shared a testimony, did an amazing job. God really used him to break down his life and how his journey went as he journeyed towards Christ. And so tonight is not his testimony, but tonight he is going to bring us a word. This brother has a word in and out of season, and tonight was probably, it was probably kind of out of season, but he was prepared, and that's what God is looking for. God is really looking for people that's just going to say yes, not worry about life, the cares of this world, not worried about the stress of the job, not worry about stress of bills, not worry about health, not worry about nothing, but God is looking for people that no matter what we're going through, will we still say yes? Will we still say yes? And I thank you, my brother, for saying yes. You are welcome in the studio on tonight. Now your sister's going to zip her lip, and I'm going to step back and allow you to have the floor. So you are live and you have the floor.
Amen, amen. How are my levels, sis? Am I coming across clear? Can you hear me? Do I need to do anything?
You are coming across clear. I don't know how I'm sounding, but you sound great.
Amen, amen. Well, I want to start off by saying I want to just give honor to God for allowing me to be here tonight, sis. And I'm going to pray first. That's the first thing I want to do is I want to pray and I want to get in the spirit. And Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, Lord, with my brothers and sisters. We come to you as your children right now, Father, all of us on the same level, all of us needing the same thing, and that's just more of you. So, Father God, we pray that over the next few minutes that you would open up your spirit, Lord, and ingrain yourself in our hearts, Father God. Allow your spirit to lead, to draw my words out, oh, Heavenly Father, as we come together. Lord, help me to be transparent in this time before you, to put Quentin away, Lord, but to allow that spiritual man to really step forth tonight. Use me, Heavenly Father, that I might reach just one. Lord, I ask these prayers right now in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, family, it's a trip that Niecy started off talking about death and that thing around that because, like the first scripture that I had, I got about five or six scriptures I want to tap into and just kind of talk around. But she was talking about death and you know, how we hold on to it. We want to hold on to that thing, this life. But to be really transparent with you all tonight, I've been, and I told you the last time I was here, I've been really struggling with and trying to be more transparent in everything I do, right, and how I present myself and the things I say. And so death being one of those things, I had to have a real conversation with myself around that same thing. You know, am I trying to hold on to this thing? Am I scared to go? I don't want to go, but what happens if I, because we see it around us, right? We're in a dying world, and we're starting to see that more. And so that's one of the things I'm going to tap into. Niecy said, still say yes, one of the things I just heard her say, right? God wants us to say yes, despite of what we're going through, despite of what we're in. That just jumped out at me when she said that, say yes. And it was a trip how this kind of came about. I was on the phone talking to one of my brothers tonight, and we were talking about the book of Jonah. And we were talking about how Jonah was trying to run from God's instruction. And at that moment, I had gotten a text from Niecy and asking me if I could step in tonight. And my immediate reaction was, yeah. You know, and I'd be honest with you, did I really want to? If I could have passed on it, I might have, keeping it real. But at the same time, the spiritual man in me jumped at the opportunity, y'all, and I wasn't going to turn this thing down. It was like, oh, we ready for this, Q. This is what we do. And see, and then me and my brother were talking about that, and he was like, see, that's that. He's that physical man that wants to run and wants to turn away from this thing. But I said, yeah, but the spirit man won, and I'm ready. And she said, I'm sure you got a word. And I was like, man, it's funny, but I really do. Niecy, I mean, real talk. This is the month of March. And for me, you all, the month of March has always been a consecration month. Well, not always, but since I started walking with the Lord in 2013, so this is the ninth year that the month of March has meant a lot to me. And I'll get into that. But first I want to start out with some scripture. And if you got your Bible, turn with me to John 12. If not, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to just kind of tap into this window and just kind of see where we're going. I'm going to read this one out of the King James. And this is in John 12, 23-26. And what's happening here is Jesus is at a feast with the disciples, and they look up, and some of the Greeks show up, and y'all know who the Greeks was. And I like to be really plain as I'm talking, because I know I'm talking to people that don't read the Bible, right? There's somebody out there that don't know who the Greeks was and who Jesus and none of this stuff. So I like to be really simple with it. But there were some people out there that was haters, and they was Greeks, and they showed up, and they started asking Jesus' disciples, his partners, like, hey, we want to speak to him. And so one asked another, another asked another, and then Jesus finally stepped up and he told his disciples, he said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until eternal life. If any man serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I let that sit on me, and I got to thinking about that, and I was like, that's real, right? That's Jesus talking. And what he's saying there is, again, if you take a kernel of corn, right, and you put that, I'm sorry, talking about wheat, right? He's saying that if you drop a kernel in the ground, it'll produce wheat, right? It'll produce something. He's saying that alone is nothing. Imagine our lives on our own. Imagine our lives doing the things that we want to do, right? Living the way we want to live, right? It probably would amount to much of nothing, some fun here and there maybe, that kind of thing. But what he's saying is imagine a life that's given over to him. As I said earlier, I want to die to myself every day, right? I want to do the things that he wants me to do. Instead of watching basketball game at night, I want to get on here, Lord, and preach your word, right? I want to get in this thing. And so that was just a good jumping off point for me tonight, right? We want to give ourselves over. And like he says, there's rewards when you come with me. My Father's going to honor that, right? So I'm talking to the believers out there right now, y'all. This is a pep talk, right? I ain't going to be on here too long tonight, but I hope you get where the heartbeat is. You know, I'm a coach by nature, right? And exhortation is what my spiritual gifts, they say, and all those type of things. But I'm coming at you from a coaching standpoint, and this is a locker room halftime kind of pep talk, right? We've been in the game, right, for the first half. We might be winning. We might be losing. We might be tied. But we come into the locker room, and I got to get my team up, right? I got to get y'all through the second half. And that's kind of what the month of March can feel like for a lot of us. We're coming out of this dreary winter. Again, rumors of war. There is war. Gas prices. There's a lot of things that can get your eyes off God, right? The job is beating a lot of us down. Relationships getting tough. Kids. A bunch of things that can get our eyes off God. But check this out. It's halftime. We're in the locker room. And March don't make it much easier because March is a long month. I used to teach in the schools, and March was the longest month on the calendar because it was about 5 weeks. There were no holidays, no really minimum days, and nothing to look forward to in the month of March, right? Got to get to spring break for the most part. And so anyway, I grabbed on to that. And like I said, back in 2013 when I first started walking with the Lord, March was my month, you guys, where it got real for me. Right, I had been going to Bible school a little bit and Bible study in February and dipping in and out of church and that kind of thing. But in March, man, God got a hold of me. And because it was such a long month, it was a month of purification, consecration, a month of me giving up things. It was the month I stopped smoking weed. I smoked weed for about 25 years straight. And then I came out of March clean, right, like real detox, man, with sweat at night. Couldn't sleep certain nights, found myself praying a lot, right? Got serious about everything. Got serious about my prayer life, put away certain things. I started watching, guard my eye gaze. Things I watched on TV I wasn't watching. I was taking in more of the word and whatever it was, whether it was a religious show or somebody preaching. I was some music. I was whole grabbing on to everything I could and putting things down. My workouts got more intense, right? I go to the gym, workout, but I set a goal for March, man. I'm going to swim 24 laps in under an hour, right? And I'm going to lift this much weight and everything about me. And what I did was I drove my students to try to reach something. It just became real. Check this out. They caught a hold of my spirit, of my inspiration. My light got to shining, right? I would come in that class on something, y'all. I'm ready to go, y'all. We finna get it today. and it would have, and they would have to come to that level. Imagine us fired up right now, the body of Christ, all of us on fire for the Lord right now. Right now, though, getting up, getting through it. Imagine what that would look like to the world, family. March, man, my consecration month. And it ain't got no, and every year I try to go a little deeper, right? I'm going to stop eating bread, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to, and I just want to get closer to God. Oh, man, I ain't going to get a haircut, right? I'm not going to do none of them things. I ain't tripping on nothing. I'm just trying to get closer to God, and that's what my March has come to represent. I remember one of my cousins would laugh at me. Man, this fool don't drink beer because it's March. He don't do what? And I was the laughing stock, y'all. Right, but now 9 years down the road, and a whole bunch of stuff done fell off. All right, including some of them cousins. So just keeping it real, there's a seriousness that has to take place, fam. Right, we're the set apart ones, and so when we're talking about relationship versus religion, there's a difference, right? Because we're not playing with this thing; it's serious. Let's check out the second piece of scripture that I wanted to tap into. It comes out of Philippians. Looks like it's Philippians 3. Turn to it real quick. And the passage is, we're going to take it verse 18, I guess. 18 to 21 is where I kind of had it. And let's see what version I'm reading out of. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation this time around. And again, we're talking about being serious about this thing, right? And it ain't no plan. Here we go. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." Right? Brother Paul talking. I'm sorry. I forgot where I was at. Here we go. "For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is, they brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything under his control." Amen. I really want to pull out of that. We are eagerly waiting for his return. Niecy started out tonight talking about we don't want to leave. I ain't going to walk out in the street and get hit by a bus. Right? That ain't, no, I'm not talking about that. But I'm also talking about what am I scared to leave? Right? If, check this out, if I'm just passing through this thing anyway, and I got a date with God, and I plan on spending eternity with him, I need to know something about him. I'm talking about relationship right now. Right? I don't want to go nowhere and spend no time with nobody I don't know. And I'm sure he's still the same way. So It's relationship, man, and I gotta know him, and I gotta be in his word enough to trust him, to know that, no, that's a better deal. This thing is cool sometimes, but it's kind of all I know, you know. But he said, though, no, come to me, right? And I got something better. So that's the, again, that's the fire in our soul. That's that piece that we gotta really hold on to. He says that there's some that are blinded, right, by their God, their appetite, appetite for food, appetite for lust, that whatever that appetite is, whatever it is that ain't a God, it's against God. And he says that they brag about shameful things, right, and because they're short-sighted. It's all about this life here. And we know those people, you know what I mean? Sometimes some of us might find ourselves in that boat, just keeping it transparent, right? You kind of just get caught up. But the word says we're citizens of heaven. Amen. We're just passing through this thing. And that's the play. This this longest month, Nisi mentioned, this zeal is what my sister said. That was the word she used. She said sometimes we lose our zeal. And again, I pray, man, that some of these words land on your heart and inspire some zeal, right, to get back in the game, right? Again, if you have time, get some water, wipe your face off, right? Change your jersey, whatever it is, but get back out in the game and let's play this thing through, because real talk, the clock is running out. Just like in a game, the game ends. Every game we watch done ended. The Super Bowl ended, right? The Kentucky Derby, the horse race came to an end. The hoop game ends, and our lives is ending. Check this out. The clock is running out. I was telling my partner the other day, man, it's like we in a track race, and it's a dead heat. You know what that means? Everybody in a tie. We in a tie. We about to hit the finish line. We don't know who's going to hit it first. You might hit it before me. I might hit it before you. But it's a tie game, right? It's a tie race. The old, the young, the sick. Ain't nobody winning. Okay, nobody in the back, ain't nobody leading. You ain't closer to the grave than I am. It's a dead heat, fam. So since we running this thing out, and since we in this thing, let's play it hard, right? Because I don't know when it's up. I can't look up and say I got this much time left. So let me just go on and play this thing hard. Let me go all out, and when I meet him, I want to meet him tired, right? And then doesn't the Bible say, well done, my job well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to meet him in a posture of out of breath. I spent it all, man. I did it all. I ain't got nothing left. Because it's going to be rest on the other side. Amen. We're tired, right? And like I said, me and my brother were talking about Jonah. And Jonah was playing, right? He was going to do his own thing. God said, go this way. For those that don't know, Jonah was a prophet, Old Testament. God spoke to him and told him, go into this certain city. It's a city called Nineveh. I want you to go to this wicked city, and I want you to preach the word of God to these people, and I want you to tell them to repent and turn to me, turn to the real true God, not them fake things they worshiping, but turn to me, and I'll heal their land and all these things, right? And I'll heal their hearts and give them. And Jonah didn't want to do it. Jonah basically ran the other way, right? God had to come against him, right? And get him and straight and lined up and got him back on track. Jonah goes and preaches, and the people repent, and then Jonah still wanted the trip. It's a great story. If you ever get some time, read the book of Jonah. Four short chapters, right? Four short chapters. And again, it'll bless you. We look at in our lives today, and I think the verse comes out of Colossians. It's really a popular verse, and I'm sorry I can't call it right now, y'all, but it's the one that says that if my people who call me by my name, right, will humble themselves, and that I would heal their land. And you hear that scripture a lot, especially in this time and era. You know, people really lean on that. But that's the story of Jonah and Nineveh, right? And check this out, fam. Those wasn't even his people that was believing in him. These were some people that was believing in something else, but they got their eyes on the true and living God, and look what he did for them. So once again, team, I'm talking to the team. We in the huddle right now. Imagine us, right, turning our eyes to God and getting real and picking ourselves up. It was a tough first half, right? We might be losing. Like yeah. I said, I had a hard day at work today. I was in a fog all day, didn't know what I was doing, wasn't getting no help from the management, felt like I wanted to quit. Why am I here, right? But as soon as I got off, Nisi called and said, I need you to preach. Guess what? Let's go, okay? Let's go. It's some real work need to be done, kingdom work, right? We got to work. God know that. That's why we in positions to work, but we there for a reason, right? We got a light to shine. So let's kind of keep the big picture in mind. Amen. Let's go get some more scripture, family. We're going to pick up at, I said I got six pieces of scripture for you. Yep, and we'll pick up on the third one. Let's go Colossians. Again, keeping the main thing the main thing. I was talking to the Bible study group last night, and we always go back to this. It's the preeminence of God is everything. Keeping God first, right, is the most important piece. It comes out of before I go there, I want to tap in on Luke. Luke chapter 16:15, and again, talking about this plan, and I'm transitioning a bit here, but this scripture, I guess I was going to leave it off, but God said, no, go on and speak on that scripture too. Luke chapter 16, verse 15, and Jesus is talking, the Pharisees are standing around. They hating on him like they always do and telling him what he can't do and you doing this wrong and you breaking this law and all these kind of things, right? There's just aren't of God, the law, right? They're coming with these regulations and laws. And Jesus is coming with love. And it says in 15, the Pharisees overheard him talking in 14. In 15, he said to them, then he said to them, and I'm starting 14, the Pharisees who dearly loved their money heard all this, and they scoffed at him. Then he said to them, you like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your heart. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. Again, I had to put that explanation point on before I left that subject, y'all. We ain't got time to play, right? We can't have one foot in and one foot out, right? It's got to be all in for the Lord, man. He says that if you're not gathering with me, then you're scattering, right? That's what the scripture says. And so if we're not all in, then we all out. Lukewarm will get you spit out is what the scripture says. So it's all in or nothing. All in or nothing, fam, all right? We got a second half to play, man. We got to go play this thing. Right? Somebody got to go to work tomorrow to a job they don't really want to go to, right? Somebody got to go face some kids just giving them some issues. Somebody got a spouse just that they not feeling, whatever, right? But our prayer and our fast, man, we got to get through these things. Let's go. Next scripture up. Let's go Colossians 1. And this is probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. I just kind of stumbled on it over the last few months, and I've really been leaning on this a whole lot. It's become the foundation of pretty much everything that I like to speak around. Most of the are about my Bible study, our Bible study, not my Bible study, our Bible study, right? This is our cornerstone scripture, and it's like our foundation. It's in Colossians 1, and I just go verse 15 to 17 here. I don't have to go all the way into it, but verse 15 and 17, and it says it really simple. Christ is supreme, right? He is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Amen. Again, and I think I spoke on this the last time I was here. If we keep God in the right order, if we keep things in order, and if we see him as we're supposed to see him, everything else is going to fall in line, regardless of how it might feel to us or how it might be perceived. But ultimately, we got to keep his preeminence first, because if I don't, then I start to drift off, man. Then it might become my preeminence or my self-survival or me trying to hold on to life, right? Or I'm trying to get something I shouldn't be getting or whatever it might be. There's 100 different things, right? And I'm talking about me, talking about Quentin right now, right? And so if I don't see him clearly, y'all, I can get off path, right? I can start to... I'm just going to leave it at that, man. I could get off path. It comes down to this deal where we got to really yearn, almost want to bear our cross. We know that we have a cross to bear. We know that part, right? But we don't want to bear it. That's the thing. But no, the attitude's got to be put it on me, right? Put that thing on me. Load me up. Put my cross on me. I'm finna bear this thing, right? I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right now what Jesus did, give me a body. I go down, load me up, okay? I do it. And that's got to be the heartbeat. bear your cross. These days ain't going to be easy. They ain't going to get no easier, right? And as we get older, we kind of realize that. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing our loved ones leave, right? We're seeing generation, a younger generation that doesn't look like ours did. And things just don't look the same, don't feel the same as the wickedness. And again, we know these things are prophetic, right? And so at the same time, though, we knew it wasn't supposed to be easy, right? We bearing our cross. We know we're going to rest when we get there. But right now, let's bear our cross, family, all right? All of us, let's strap this thing up. And let them light shine even brighter when we step out into this world tomorrow. Our lights, we got to light this thing up, man, right? We're a city on the hill, family. This whole thing, going back to the preeminence of God, our vision versus the true vision of what God looks like. My vision can get cloudy, family. Q Richardson's vision can get cloudy. Because I could start looking at God through work kind of distracted me, or I didn't get enough sleep, or such and such them might be tripping, or my money ain't right, or whatever it is, it can get my eyes off, and now I'm looking at God funny. Man, you ain't done this. I thought I was supposed to be living like this. Versus my true vision of God, versus me seeing him where the Bible just said he was, the creator of all things through him, for him, the first and the last, okay? So if I keep that vision, then everything will kind of fall in line. I'll be all right if I see him right, preeminent, order, right? Seeing him as he truly is, amen. I'm working through this thing, family, and we almost there. Came to give you life more abundantly. Right, I didn't come to make it bad on you, right? And like I said, it might feel like that, but that's the cross you got to bear. He bears one. So I come to give you life more abundantly, and really that's the only way to get through this life, y'all, is to know that. Let's turn to Matthew 11 and check out what that says. Matthew 11. And I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to go down a little bit in this one. And I guess I'll get it from 28. Yeah, I'll pick it up from 28, right? We all know this. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden and burdened, right? That's what the King James said, right? Come to me who you are weary and meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in my soul. That's a call to come on in. I got you. I know, and remember, he was talking to a people that were being oppressed. There was a Roman oppression going on, and like you said, their yoke was hard, right? And not unlike our yoke that we deal with, right? We got some tough bosses and some tough laws and some tough gas prices and some tough taxes and mortgages, right? That put us in some places that, man, these are dire straits. Tough food prices, all these type of things. So come to me, though. Because really, I'm the only way you're going to deal with it, is what he's saying. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself out of order. You're going to find yourself not seeing me in my preeminence, doing the things that you used to do, all right, or the things that your flesh is telling you to do. And we all know what those things are. Glory in the trial, right? That's glory in the trial. Nothing wrong with taking on. Like I said, let's welcome our cross, y'all. I know sometimes I look forward to going to the gym or lifting some weights just because I know it's going to hurt, right? That's what resistance training is. It's that lift off you get. Pastor Ron told me one time, he told me that the jet planes that are on the aircraft carriers, they take off on that runway. He said, but in order for them to get lift off, and I guess this is true of all planes, he said they have to have the wind coming against them, and I never knew this. He said if the wind is at their backs, then they will never get elevation. He said, but if the wind is at their face and it's resisting them and it's coming at them, that's how they lift up off. family. Do you know that the things that you're going through right now are your liftoff? Right? That's your elevation point. These are the, and I know you've heard it before. Somebody said it. Some pastor done said it way better than me. I know y'all done heard all of this before. But again, that's our elevation. That's our liftoff point. Welcome those things. Right? Grab on to that. Let's check out what the scripture says in Romans. He said it real simple, right? And it's just one verse. Romans 5:3. And then the King James Version, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, right? And patience brings experience, and experience brings hope. There's something good that's going to come out of this, y'all, if we hang in there, right? And hope make us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Let me get a version that says that a little easier. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Hope is what's got me standing here tonight in the bedroom preaching the gospel, not worrying about how I look, not worrying about how I sound or how I'm going to be judged. Like I said, there's a billion pastors that done said this way better than me, and I ain't tripping. Right? I'm going to stand here and speak anyway, because he's giving me the words to speak. I ain't tripping on how I'm going to be judged, but there was a time when I probably would have, right? I might not have wanted to speak. I ain't ready yet, Nisi. Let me get something together, right? Trying to put Quentin's best foot forward, worrying about how I would look before men, right? But now it's like, no, man, you just get on out there. You ain't nothing anyway, right? That these vessels of clay we made in, man, we decaying and dying. And come on, man, we got to get that spiritual man alive, family. I'm almost there, man. I ain't got but one scripture left, y'all. Resistance, right? So as I leave tonight, I want to send us off on we talked about a lot of things, man. We talked about dying to ourselves daily, you know, and again, not being afraid to die. I remember my mother and my aunties and my grandmother, man. It was an old spiritual they used to sing when we would go to church, and it would say, does anybody ask you where I'm going? Soon I'm going up yonder. And I didn't understand it as a kid. It would scare me. They talking about they ready to die? I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Because they knew, family. And I want to share you something from the heart, man. Nisi spoke about her friend passing this week. And my condolences to you, my sister. And I know a lot of you are experiencing death in your lives, and my prayers are with you as well. And I'm no different. I lost two friends this past week. They were both older. But one of the ladies, Sister Barbara, was really special to me. She was a sister that I met 2 years ago. And a buddy of mine invited me to a Bible study one Saturday, and I attended, and it was at Sister Barbara's house. And the older lady, widowed, loved the Lord, opened up her home, and we had great fellowship in the Word for two years. And she took ill recently, and I guess I saw her about 6 months ago. I went out. We had a little prayer circle around her, and after everybody, after we had prayed, I stayed in the room, and I sat with her, and I talked with her, and she told me, she said, you know, Quentin, I'm not afraid. She said, I know everybody's praying, and she said, but I also know that the Lord could heal me, but he might not. And she said, but I'm all right with that. And she said it in a real weak tone, y'all. She was really tired. And she said, but that's all right. And she said, but I know where I'm going. Right? And then that's what made me think about this song, I'm Going Up Yonder. So, I mean, God is good. My sister transitioned on Monday. She went home to see the Lord at 79 years old. And what I didn't mention, and again, not about me at all, but my sister asked would I preach her funeral, would I eulogize her. And she asked me that before she passed. She said, you know, I'm planning my services, and I would like for you to do it. And I'm thinking, wow, why me, right? And I kind of wanted to pull the Jonah, right, and get the running. I ain't no preacher. This ain't my thing. I don't, what? You got a pastor. What's? And she went on to speak her heartbeat, and her heartbeat really was, I want to see the body step into the body of Christ. She was like, we really got to step into our role. She said, it's been too much fronting, too much playing, too many titles, and too many posturing and too many look at me's and a lot of things. And she said, I'm talking about the big pastor all the way down to the little one, the pulpit to the street. She said, so the body all got to get right, you know. And, again, we talked about that tonight. So praise God for my sister. I'm closing, family. Let's tap in on Ephesians 6 real quick, and then I'm going to let y'all go, man. So my mother always told me, don't be up there long. So I'm going to go on and shut this thing down, family. Ephesians 6, just two verses, and it's 18 through 20. And the reason this jumped out at me was because this is Paul talking, and we know Paul as being that dude, right? Paul preached through anything, and he's strong, and that's the one, right, out of everybody. We know Paul was strong, but here's what he said, right, in 18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me stop right there, family. I want to get the New Living Translation on that. I'm reading out of the King James, and I'll be honest with you, that'd be too confusing for me at times, right? Sometimes when I'm alone and I'm reading by myself, yeah, but sometimes I got to get a different version, and I love the King James. Don't get me wrong. I know that's the one, and it says things different. But for this moment, y'all, let me just step over into the NLT. It says in 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Let me say it again, y'all, because it's the last scripture tonight. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Pray. That's the big word, family. Pray. Right? Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And then he says in 19, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan to the good news is for the Jews and for the Gentiles alike. He says, I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Amen. Pray for me, y'all. Pray for you guys, right? Some of us is in chains right now, not physical, but different kind of chains. We know what those chains are individually, right? And here's Paul in a physical prison, though, saying, man, pray for me. I'm going to keep spitting this thing, right? And y'all keep spitting it, too. But we need each other to pray. And so that's where that was. I'm going to leave you guys with a poem. I ain't going to lie. It ain't no poem, y'all. It's a rap verse. But I'm going to say it slow, and it'll come off like a poem. This is from Pastor Larry Austin out of Oakland. And this is a song he wrote a few years back. It's called I Ain't Worried About Nothing. But check the heartbeat of this. And, again, I'm not a rapper, but peep the heartbeat of what he says. And it's just a few short bars. He says, never will he leave me, never forsake me. This season that I'm going through wasn't sent to break me. It was only sent to shape me. So I'm going to let it take me right to the throne of grace, because that's where my faith be. Lately, the Spirit's been calling me away. Secluded in his presence, been given more time to pray. Less time to speak, but more time to listen, to clarify the vision and get busy about the mission. I ain't worried about nothing. Amen. Amen. And that's the word for tonight, Heavenly Family. I hope that blessed somebody, sis.
Amen, 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 amen. Well, I want to thank you, my brother, for bringing forth the word from the word on tonight. I want to just take a few moments because we do have a couple of minutes. If you're listening in and you feel like you have any questions or you have any comments regarding what was ministered on tonight, please feel free to dial one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. Again, if you have any questions or comments about tonight or anything you, you know, maybe need prayer for, please feel free to dial one on your dial pad, and that will let our team know that you have a question or comment. I want to say thank you for the word, Minister Q. It was definitely a word needed. It was very matter of fact. It was very, you know, it didn't take a baby to understand, and it was really motivating, because I think that a lot of times we could see, we're, you know, we're spirit housed in flesh. And so, you know, oftentimes we can relate to the flesh things, you know, like when you use the analogy of being a coach and, you know, hey, get in the game, the first half, you know, like Super Bowl, you know, there was a quarter there that was looking kind of rough, you know, kind of rough for those Rams, and, you know, and they had to, you know, they had to take a break and, you know, take some water, you know, sit down, readjust their thinking,
right.
You know,
that's
get
right.
back focused to the why. And we all have to do that in life. We have to get focused on the why. We have to readjust. We have to, you know, just recreate to think, where am I going? And life is not,
yes,
you know, anybody that thinks that life is going to be easy once you say yes, then this is not, if you're looking for, oh, I accept Jesus and now I'm doing that because I want my life to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if people, they see, when you think of blessings, people see blessings and they don't see struggle. All they see is blessings, and that's not the case.
Come on.
You know,
come on.
There used to be a song back in the 70s, and I'm not going to, you know, but it used to say, you know, the rain, you know, thank God for the rain, because if you didn't know what the rain was and you couldn't appreciate the sun, you know, and it went on
right.
to give these things. And that's the truth, because if we didn't know what being hungry was,
that's right.
then we would never even
that's right.
be able to enjoy it in full.
That's
amen.
Right.
So,
amen.
So go through life's pains. That's, you know, life is full of pains, constant. And me
that's
and
right.
my connection, my relationship with God, I don't care how close my relationship is with God, I don't care how often I'm praying, I'm going to still experience life's pains. And so the goal is to continue to process those pains and understand in the process. And I mean, I could just go on and on and on. We, you know, we could talk about you know, what you ministered on now and be in the month, you know, in the weeks before. We had another pastor friend of ours that ministered on Recycle Pain, which was just awesome. We do have somebody.
Awesome.
We have somebody that looks like they do have a question. I'm just going to see real quick. Area code 650, last 47971. You are live.
Thank you, Sister Nisi. My name is Scott Smith, and I know Brother Q. I'm in his Bible study, and I just want to say that was an awesome word tonight, brother. And
amen. Amen, Dolly.
Yeah, Sister Nisi. I also wanted to comment on some stuff you said at the beginning about being on fire for the Lord. And I told Brother Q about this, but I attended Pastor Hollingsworth and Alan Hattie Hollingsworth Ministries about 20 years ago. They used to do these ministries where you would write down your business. I think they may still do it, but...
Vertical leap.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was when they had a house in Diamond Bar, and that was one of the best and most powerful things I ever attended. I mean, the fast, you fast and pray. I probably went to maybe four or five of them at that time, and they were doing it out of the house in Diamond Bar. And man, that is, you talk about being set on fire for the Lord. That was just one of the most powerful things. And that was my point is, being on fire. I know what you're saying. And sometimes, again, it's been over maybe 20 years or so, and, you know, that flame goes up and down. But once you get that fire set, man, that was just awesome. I have another ulterior motive, too, for calling. Hattie, her album, she used to play this music at those sessions, and I have not been able to find it. And it was her own music, and I'm just wondering if you guys have that somewhere. I've been looking for her CD for probably a good 15 years now or so.
Oh, okay. Well, what I'll do is make sure that I will get a phone number for they do sell those CDs. Actually, I don't, you did it 20 years ago, so she has about three CDs. But I will
okay.
Make sure
I want the original though. I know I have some of her later music, but I want that original music. I mean, that was so good. It was just a blessing.
Well, I'll make sure what I'll do is, like I said, I'll get a number to Minister Q that he could get to you to the ministry, you know, the administration, and then you can reach out to them and they can tell you how you could go about getting it. So we'll make sure we get that to you. Remind me, Brother Q, to make sure I have that information so that my brother could be able to purchase those CDs. Amen.
Anyway, I'm sorry to take it off topic, but that powerful word tonight, Q. Thank you, Sister Nisi. I appreciate y'all. I've been listening now almost every week, and it's really a blessing.
Amen.
Thank you. And I think, I'm not sure, let me just see really quick here. I think we got another hand up and then we'll start winding down. I'm not sure, area code 682, last four 0717. You are live. Did you have something to say? Okay, that must have been okay. Then we got one more. Area code 219, last four 0719, Pastor Ron. You are live.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, everybody. God bless you, Sister D, Coach D, and Brother Q. You know, man, I'm just so excited for you. You know, we know each other. We've known of each other. And it's powerful that we know each other now by the Spirit. And we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, man. So it's like, I just appreciate that. God's timing, you know, and when we need a coach, you know, God puts a coach in our life, man, to inspire us to be passionate. And I think that's what you were, that's all I heard in your voice tonight was just passion, man. And it's so exciting to see somebody on fire for the Lord. And I often say, I think it's R.A. Torrey said, if you catch on fire for the Lord, people come watch you burn. And man,
hallelujah.
I can just see people in Oakland, California, in that area, just coming to hear and just being in your presence, because passion is attractive, bro, and it really is. And you just so eloquently took us to the locker room and gave us a spiritual pep talk, you know, that would enable us to just go out and just be bold tomorrow. And so I'm telling you, man, I got my cleats on, man. I'm spatted up.
Come on.
I got my helmet on, and I got that breastplate of righteousness, some shoulder pads, and man, I'm going to cause some confusion to the kingdom tomorrow, man, by your inspiration. So thank you, Brother Q, and thank you, Sister D, and everybody that's on tonight. I just pray that we all just go out tomorrow, you know, and just be excited and on fire for Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Ron. You can catch Ron live. Pastor Ron, you want to do a plug-in real quick? How people can catch you live to get the word if they not plugged in to a church home on Sunday morning?
Praise God. We have a Temple Worship Center / Pastor R.D. Gaston. So, again, that's Temple Worship Center / Pastor R.D. Gaston. And we are Central Standard Time, so for you all in California, you know, it'd be different. You know, it would be 8 o'clock for you all, but it's 10 o'clock a.m. our time. We also have Bible studies on Tuesday night at 7, which would be like 5 Pacific Standard Time. And then we have discipleship class, too, where we do it Zoom every Saturday. We have discipleship class and SWAT, we call it, Soul Winning Across Town, where we actually get out and get on the bus and go do some spiritual drive-bys on Saturday. So if you're ever in the area, you can You can stop by and do some swatting on Saturday. But, yeah, Sunday, 10 a.m., Central Standard Time, and Tuesday, 7 p.m., Central Standard Time. I would love to have you all be in attendance with us. And if nothing else, just pray for us as well. Just pray for our ministry as we'll continue to pray for the whole body of Christ, that we do walk in the body. I like that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Q, do you have anything else before we will be calling it an evening? Is there anything else you would like to share?
No, I've said it all. I'd just like to thank the body for showing up tonight, man. I felt y'all's spirit out there, and that drove me. So I thank our Father. I give all the glory to God, and I just want to thank the family for showing up.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank each and every person for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. We will be back on next Thursday, and Coach D, for some of y'all kept hearing, you could tell family. You always know family. You know, that's funny. It's, you always know family because family is going to always call you by your nickname. And so my brother kept saying Niecy, and I was like, oh, Lord, I know these people trying to figure out who that is. Well, that's my nickname from a child, you know, and it kind of tickles me because, you know, because we know all those who know Niecy know that they don't want Niecy to appear. So praise God. So praise God, praise God. But anyway, I just want to thank you all again. Please join us next Thursday for another word in the Word. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and we will see you next Thursday. Have a blessed evening.
God bless everybody.